3 weeks ago, we started the discussion of a shayla, and we said it would take 3 weeks for us to get to the answer. So now it is 3 weeks later, and now it's time to get to an answer.
Yes.
So as a reminder, the question was as follows. It goes back to an Eidos shayla, that a child was born in this community with suffering from Fanconi's anemia, a terrible Jewish Ashkenazic genetic disease. The only chance for a cure is if you find an exact genetic match and do a transplant. There was no genetic match in this case, and therefore the it has to be done by the time the child is 5-6 years old, and therefore the parents decided that they would try to have another child that would both be healthy and a genetic match in order to cure the first child, sort of a double or nothing attempt that they were going through. The we'll ruin the ending. Baruch Hashem, it worked out. Both children are alive and well, still living in the Metro Denver area, we'll be happy to note. And at the time, there was a lot of discussion. It made the front page of the New York Times Magazine as to whether this was ethically the right thing to do. The most major of the arguments against it involved the situation where, again, it's going to be close. It's going to take a while to create an embryo, test an embryo, and find an embryo that meets the criteria we're looking for. And then even after that, you've still got 9 months to go. The question is, what if it came to a point where it was very close and it would be necessary to have the genetic material right away? Would the parents be tempted to abort the second child in order to save the first child? That was the question that people were concerned about. And because of that possibility that would lead to the parents aborting this second child, they thought the entire thing should not be tried. In order to answer this, we decided to go for the most radical of approaches and saying that in the event that that did happen, would perhaps an abortion actually be appropriate? Perhaps one could make the argument, we'll have to see if this is a good argument or not, that yes, if that would happen, if a woman was faced with a situation that if she had an abortion, it would save someone else's life, would an abortion be appropriate in that case? In order to have that, we began with the discussion.
How does having the abortion do this? Because they used the genetic material from the fetus?
Correct.
Not in order for it to get pregnant again when there was no match.
I'm the one guy in the room who's not the doctor, but my understanding is that the cord blood would be able to provide enough genetic material, enough stem cells, whatever it is that they need, in order to save the child. That's the idea behind it. So we began the discussion with an overall general discussion of abortion as to, is it not allowed again? And if so, what level is it? Is it really considered murder, or is it something else? And then we went and discussed specific cases where the child, right, if you have a child that has a genetic disease, a Tay-Sachs baby or the like, we discussed in those cases if a couple finds out very early in the pregnancy, even maybe not that early in the pregnancy, are you allowed to have an abortion if the child is going to have a severe disability of some sort? That was the discussion last time. Now we're actually getting to our question at hand. Once we have that background, we can discuss it. We'll do a little bit of the background that we've done previously, the first two sources we've seen before, because they both indicate that there is a point where you are allowed to do an abortion in order to save a life. That everybody agrees with. In this case being the mother's life. Correct. Absolutely. Even the most radical opinion, the opinion we said of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which says that abortion is murder, that a fetus has the status, or even an embryo, right, would have the status of a human being, and therefore terminating a pregnancy is the same as killing a regular person. But even those sources have to admit that abortion would be allowed in order to save the mother. And we have to discuss why, because in general, there's a concept of ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, right? In almost, I say, every avera is allowed to be violated in the face of pikuach nefesh. You're allowed to violate Shabbos. You're allowed to eat non-kosher. Right? There's hardly anything out there that we won't do to save a life. In fact, hardly anything. There are three exceptions, and one of the three exceptions is murder. We don't murder to save a life. So the question becomes, if I say this isn't murder, well, that's pretty easy. Then I have nothing to talk about. But if I say it's murder, I have to explain why would I allow murder to save the mother's life. And once I come up with that answer, I can discuss whether this is something that's localized to the mother.
But there's two kinds of murder. You can murder someone because there's a gun to your head and they tell you, if you don't murder him, I'll murder you.
Okay.
That's where you're... Yavor Val...
Yavor.
But there's another type where the guy's chasing you to kill you. There you're allowed to kill him.
So self-defense.
Right.
Right. So we definitely recognize self-defense. And, in fact, that is what the Gemara is talking about at the time that it raises this issue.
Right.
So let's start from the beginning. We start with the Mishnah in Olos. We've seen the Mishnah before. A woman that is having a difficult delivery, this is a very graphic description of a late-term abortion, which we allow to save the mother's life. Because her life is more important than the baby's life. Yatzarubo, however, once the child, his majority has been delivered, ain't no gimbosh, ain't dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. In that case, we do not kill the child to save the mother, because at that point, why should I kill A versus B?
Does that mean more than half of the body is out? Is that what we're talking about?
That's what it sounds like. That's the simple reading.
Can we value one based on age? Meaning,
so again, do you think older people are worth more or younger people are worth more?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
That's what I'm asking you. I mean, you, it's your question. You can't ask me what your question is. That's not a fair. This isn't Jeopardy.
At that point, it doesn't have much value, but in theory,
it's not a question of value. It's not a question of value.
When are the kids worth more? So what is it? I guess, what, till 21, and then, kind of drifts?
It's a downhill slide.
Right? I assume that there's more potential in this baby than anyone else in the world. They have more potential, right? They could live longer than anybody else. Never sinned, other than this one murder, maybe. What? Right. So we don't decide one way. We're not in the business of deciding who's worth more than whom, right? We assume that all people are of equal value, and therefore, whether the person's the gadol hador or he's the katan hador, it doesn't make a difference. One way or the other, we treat everyone equally. That's the Gemara in Olos. The Gemara is quoted in the Bavli in Sanhedrin. Amar Huda Katan Harodef Nitam Latzila Benafsho. If a Katan, let's say a five-year-old has a gun. You have stories like this on the news from time to time. And the gun's loaded and the kid is going to shoot somebody. Are you allowed to kill the child?
I would think yes.
Ah, but the kid doesn't know what he's doing.
Even so,
I'll change a few. The kid doesn't know what she's doing.
Okay. Same thing.
Okay.
If you think she or he is going to kill somebody.
Well, somebody is different than you.
Right.
If he's going to kill you, then you are allowed to kill him. He's a rodent.
I would defend myself, yes.
Well, but let's say she's going to kill someone else. Then can you shoot her?
I don't think so.
I think yes.
I was going to say, you become a rodent.
No, I don't become
after
a rodent.
The
kids are, that's what the Gemara is saying, is katan harodef nitan latzil benafsho.
But
the
it's
katan, no, it's not rodef you.
It's rodef somebody else.
Yes.
So what
okay.
is it that you're not allowed to do? Like, what's your heart by?
Well, in general, you shouldn't kill people.
That sounds like a good rule of
thumb. I don't keep teaching my kids much, but, try to cut down on the murder to the extent possible. Again, not... No, again, the five-year-old kid is trying to kill someone else, right? I'm allowed to kill the five-year-old kid to save the person's life.
Why is it that you say, unless his five-year-old is standing there, I said, I'll shoot him unless you tell me. Just the more you shoot him unless you shoot him.
So you say, fine, give me the gun and you shoot the kid.
Right? Teacher in a classroom, a little kid takes out a gun, tries to kill somebody.
Right.
Allah, I think the teacher is allowed to pull a gun and kill the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Unfortunately, as crazy as it sounds, it could happen.
That's what 20 to 30 years ago, it would have sounded crazy.
Yeah, not today.
Not so much anymore.
Kids bring guns to school.
The Cholzman, right? So he says, I raise it. Aber Rav Yehuda caught on a road if needs nice of a nashor. Kosova road of einot zara hasra. You see from there that it does. Why do usually we do hasra? The person understands. We have to warn them that they understand what they're doing wrong. A road if you don't have to say, excuse me, please stop running after that person. No, there's no hasra. You can kill them right out. Loshna gadol, loshna katan. It doesn't matter if the person's a gadol or a katan. Esrei Rav Chizkiya Rav Huna yatsa rosha einogin bo. Lefishe dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. Va'amai rodefu. Shani hasam mishmaya karatflim. So he said, wait a second, the Gemara is assuming. Here, the baby is killing the mother. What's the status of the baby, the Gemara seems to indicate?
A
rodef, right? Even though the baby is not yet bar or bas mitzvah. Right? And you can't warn the baby. Right? So if that's the case, why, when the child is half born, don't you kill the child then?
I don't know.
Is this considered a
complete? Because you're giving the class.
Well there's a rodef and there's a rodef. If the mother's going to die because she can't carry this baby to term, and that's what's going to kill her. To say that this guy is going to grow up to be a murderer.
No, you're not understanding. We're not saying that. We're saying that here we are.
When she delivered the baby.
We're halfway through the delivery.
Okay.
The delivery. We're 100% through the pregnancy.
And we're losing the mother.
And now at this point.
You got to sacrifice one or the other.
So the Gemara says, sacrifice the baby. Sacrifice the baby, because the baby is killing the mother. It's not the mother who's killing the baby. So again, I'm the third party, like I said. It's not that the baby's coming after the doctor.
Right.
The baby's going after the mother. And I, the doctor, the Gemara said, why don't I kill the baby to save the mother? So the answer is that this is a different case. It's not that the baby is killing the mother, but the heaven is killing the mother and using the baby as the weapon.
But that was true before the baby came out.
What?
That was true before the baby was coming
out. So that's a good...
It hasn't come out yet.
Baby...
We're talking about two parts here.
So the question is, okay, so why... What's the reason? Why are we allowed to kill the baby? So again, the Rambam takes the approach, which has been mentioned from time to time here, which kind of fits in to overall in the flow in the Gemara, where the Rambam says as follows: Hareze mitzvah lo sase shel halachos al nefesh harodef. It is a mitzvah if you see someone who's going to kill someone else, not to have mercy. You are obligated to save the other person's life by killing the murderer, the rodef. Lefichach, therefore, horu chachamim she'ubra shehi makshalelet, the pregnant woman who's having trouble in the labor, moter lachtoch ha'uber b'meyeho, b'im b'sam b'im b'yad, b'mneshu k'rodef acharel ha'harga. The reason I allow an abortion when the mother's life is in danger is because of what?
The baby is a rodef.
The baby is a pursuer. The baby is a murderer.
He's going to take the mother's
and therefore,
life.
What?
It's a legal fiction.
The Rambam can, it seems.
It's not the typical case where a baby's holding a gun to someone.
A baby is not holding a
gun.
Not a gun, not a knife.
The baby has no knowledge.
The baby is a tool to kill the mother. Okay, call it that way.
Right. So the Rambam understands it the way it really fits into a certain extent of the Gemara. The Gemara is, because how did we get into this discussion, right? The question we were talking about, what if a katan is a rodef? And then the Gemara brings in this case. So that indicates that there is a certain parallelism. That's why it was brought in. And therefore, that's the issue is rodef. On the other hand, Patty correctly points out that the end of the Gemara doesn't really work in that way, right? If you read the rest of the Gemara, it says that no, this is different because the baby is not the rodef, the baby is the tool. So if that's the case when the baby is halfway out, it should also be the case when the baby is no way out.
Right?
So what does it sound like from that? Then if you're reading it that way, the flow of the Gemara is the Gemara raises the possibility that the baby is a rodef, but the Gemara ultimately rejects it. Right? The Gemara assumes that no, that's not what's going on here. There is no parallelism. Our case of abortion is not related to that. So, okay, so why do we allow abortion in the case of danger to the mother? The Rashi follows the opinion of Marsha Wynn. Rashi says as follows: Yotza Rosha, the Isha Makshalel Mesukenis. It's a woman who's in danger, she's having a difficult delivery. The midwife can stick her hand in and kill the child with her hand. The Cholzman Shalo Yotzala Ovir Ha'olam Lav Nefeshu. Because before the child is born, it does not have a soul. It is not considered a nefesh. So therefore, if I have a choice of killing person A or person B, I can't choose. Right? Kill person A or I be killed, I don't have a right to choose.
If that's the case, how can the Moshe Feinstein say that it's murder?
So again,
if it's not a nefesh yet, while the baby is still in the
again, body. You're saying that he's not following the opinion of Rashi.
Not only the Rashi of the Gemara, it seems from the Mishnah of the Gemara that the baby has a lower status than the mother while he's still inside.
Totally. Right, so that's right. So that's not the Rambam's reading, right? The Rambam says Rodef. Rambam seems to say that everybody's equal here, right? Rashi, on the other hand, says no, they're not equal. That's the answer. Before the baby comes out, the baby, whatever it is, it's not a nefesh. It doesn't have a soul. The soul enters at the time of birth. And therefore, if I have a choice of killing someone with a soul or killing someone without a soul, you go for the soulless person. That is the opinion of Rashi. So there is a basic machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Why do we allow an abortion to save the mother's life? The Chazon Ish has a little bit of a third approach. The Chazon Ish is based on another Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin wants to know, why is it that I can't kill you to save my life? So the Gemara says a Svara. Right, the Gemara says, who says that your blood is redder than his blood or her blood? Right? Why should one person be more important than another? So that's the reason when you choose one way or the other. The Chazon Ish seems to say as follows. He says, in general, I don't know whose blood is redder, but the person who's alive is more red than the person who's not yet alive. That's only B'Sheva Al-Tasa. This was Kumbase. So again, let's look at number 5, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, Yeshloma kevin da the shvichas damim yehar val yavar. So the whole idea of rodef is why the whole reason that murder is yehar gal yavor, that I have to be killed, because of this idea, who says your blood is redder than mine, or vice versa. Lo shayach ze be'uber, but that doesn't apply when it comes to a fetus. The hilchach eino bedin sheyehar adam b'shvil chayim shel uver. There's no reason why I should kill someone else for, let's say I walk in and I see a doctor doing an abortion. Should I kill the doctor to save the fetus? So there are definitely people out there that would say yes.
Yes,
but what would halacha say?
No.
Right? So he says no, because again, he's not exactly right. Right.
When the baby's born, he says when the baby takes his first breath. And until the baby takes his breath, right? His lashon was until he breathes.
No. Doesn't say that. Shall yatzil avir, yatzil avir.
Avir. Oh.
Until he enters the atmosphere.
Enters the air in order to breathe it. No.
Nah, I think you've got. So basically, we have two or three opinions here. Now, this is a very, very, very important machlokas, I think, in terms of our case. So according to both the Rambam and according to Rashi, I'll put the Chaz Nishan on the side for the time being, but he'll agree as well. I have a right to do an abortion to save the mother's life. Now, let's think of this case. Could I do an abortion to save someone else's life?
Well, the argument could be made that there's a soulless person versus a person.
So whose opinion would that be? Who would make that argument?
It sounds like that's the Rashi.
Rashi would say that. And therefore Rashi
would
allow. What would the Rambam say?
He'd say no.
The Rambam would say only if the fetus is the pursuer
of the person
who's dying. Right? And right.
Of the brother or sister.
So this machlokas, I think, between why do we allow abortion, right, speaks directly to the question of whether you can do it to save another life, not the life here. Now, there are other cases that have come up earlier before our interesting case, which perhaps go along these lines. We start with the Shulchan Aruch, because you have to do the Shulchan Aruch. What do the Shulchan Aruch holds like? Harodef es chaver lahargo. Someone is a pursuer, he's looking to kill someone. Is he ruhu? Varehu rodef achra, vafilo hayo rodef katan, hare kol yisom betzum, lahatzilo be'evr me'evr rodef. I should shoot the guy in the leg if I can, even if I didn't war in if it's a kid. I'm not such a good shot. You know, I'm not like one of those people from Cripple Creek that could shoot a can off at on the other side of a football field. If I have no choice, I kill the pursuer. Therefore, a woman who's pregnant, she's having difficulty. I can kill it as necessary. Who is the Shulchan Aruch following here?
I don't know what it said.
Rambam. He's clearly following the opinion of the Rambam.
Can you say what it said?
It said the same thing as the Rambam.
Got
said.
It. Never mind.
Right? Basically, it says, first it talks about the case of the Rodef, and then it says, and this is why you're allowed to do that.
Wait, I thought you couldn't do it because the baby's not a Rodef of the...
No, yeah, the Shulchan Aruch is not talking about the case in 2001 in Denver.
Okay.
Right? Right? In 15...
It's about the mother.
Right? Talking about the typical case.
Then I'm with you. Okay.
Now, let me ask you the following questions. Let's say a doctor comes forward and tells a woman, he says, if you let this pregnancy go on, you have a 7% chance of dying. Would you allow an abortion for that? I'd say 93%.
I would not.
What?
I would not.
You would not what?
I would not.
Allow the you would allow it or not?
I would not decide to have an abortion on a 7% risk.
What happens if you
is that wait? Your what?
Can you just wait and see if the percentage goes up or down?
Sure.
Whatever. It's a case where the doctor says, you know, you'll probably make it, but I need to inform you that there's a certain amount of risk. Not a 50% risk.
But do you have to abort today or can I wait 2 weeks?
That is it's now or never, right? The doctor says, right? Or again, yeah, and halachically, remember, if we're going to abort, we want to do it earlier.
That's, on 7%, I would not.
13?
Still would not.
28.
Getting closer, but no.
it's like a Turkish bazaar we're running here. Combination Turkish bazaar medical office.
It has to be a certainty the mother's going to die.
So how?
A small medical percentage.
70%?
That I would do.
According to Moshe Feinstein, which you have not quoted yet,
I always hate the guys who read ahead, right?
No, he says no, it's murder.
Yeah, flip a coin.
Some people who are very strict say it has to be 99%. Right?
So Igris Moshe, a Moshe Feinstein, who holds this is murder straight out, says, Mitown Zahorisi Shaf Sharof Bobum Shiyesh Shah Shema Thomas Aim. Even in a case where the doctor said there's a possibility that she'll die, k'shelo yargu es over unless she has an abortion. After the inyan chilul Shabbos chol yisurin hoy machalman, even though if on a 7% chance that she'll die, I would go and violate Shabbos in a second.
Okay.
Right. So this is obviously we take it seriously. Even for a long shot possibility, I'm going to violate Shabbos if it's someone's life is potentially in danger. It has to be nearly certain that she's going to die. What would Rav Moshe say, 70% chance?
I think he'd say 99.
For sure not.
Probably has to be 90, 95%.
Say 99.
I'd say probably already about 90 we'd go. Nira Motzli, I would say. That would be my thought.
He's so adamant. Right. I'm surprised you'd say 90.
Right? The who meets Ashnech, the Rodev, Shaitekein, Valishu Rodev. 7% of the. I see a person running after another person. They're probably playing tag, but there's a chance, there's an outside possibility he's a Rodev.
Let's kill him. What? He's carrying a knife or a gun.
That right, raises the percentage.
There's a better chance he's a Republican now. Just kidding. But, I don't think... Right? Because what Moshe says, before you start shooting the guy, you better be darn sure he's a Rodev.
Right. That makes sense.
Baba
the
Shevet
of Levi... What?
So, you are
that sure. Baba Machteres, we assume. Unless it's a member of the family or the like. The Shevet of Levi disagrees... The Shevet HaLevi does not see this as murder and therefore does not require. He says, Yekaroso kibalti vasher itzi rafonai bedin im shofto arofen sheim ro tapil pribitna v'tistakein ha'im bureda im mutter horos bezer. Right? She said that there's a possibility there's danger. It doesn't sound like it raises to that possibility. You read the tshuva and he says, in fact, that in that case... A person is allowed to have an abortion, right? Even though he makes it sound like it's a possibility.
Meaning it's 7%?
It sounds like 7%.
Okay.
Sounds like in that case that he would allow it. Now, of course, he goes on to say, don't trust the doctors necessarily, right? Before you go and have an abortion, make sure, get a second opinion, right? Obviously, don't rush into this, but if in fact... Upon speaking to reliable doctors, they tell you that there is a possibility.
So what if it's not the mother that the Rodef is after, but the sibling who needs the parts?
So that's not Rodef. That's not Rodef.
That baby's
true.
Not pursuing a sibling.
But you say, if you don't sacrifice this baby, the other baby's going to die.
Right. So who's the Rodef here? Nobody's the Rodef here. That's why, according to the
Rambam, is the body.
Right, we'll right. Kill the disease. We'd support that. The Sefer Torah Sariel is written by Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein is the Rav of Ramat Rachel, very close with Shmuel Rav Eliashiv, has a very fascinating question, which I think is very relevant here. What if a pregnant woman is diagnosed with cancer? And... In order to
take the treatment.
Right. If she takes the treatment,
it'll kill the fetus.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't take it, she's surely going to die.
So let's before we read it inside, let's discuss it. Again, unfortunately this
happens all the time.
It happens often, my understanding is. And okay, and the options are as follows. Right? In the event that she again obviously, we'll say if she takes the chemo, the baby dies, right? If she doesn't take it,
she dies,
right? And again, if she takes the chemo, there's no guarantee she's going to live,
right?
But it will likely prolong her life a certain amount. What would you say about this case?
How soon will the baby be born?
If they abort, never.
Okay.
Again, it's not the baby that's the road
aphe.
It's the cancer that's the road aphe.
Correct. Correct. So what would the Rambam say? What would Rashi say?
I think the Rambam would say, don't do the abortion.
No what? No. Right? The Rambam says the whole heter for the abortion is if the child is a road aphe. The child here is not a rodent.
Rashi says it's not a human
being. Rashi says, if I've got to choose between two, I take the person who's alive already. And again, we could discuss the logical reasons for it.
Do you think it would be the
this,
same?
This, what?
Do you think, in other words, you were asking, what do you think their opinion would be? Would they, are you saying...
I agree with what you're saying.
Well,
I think... Well, again, no, that person is not, here I'm driving a car, okay? I'm driving a car, and I lose control, and I have a choice. I could turn one way and go off the cliff, turn the other way, stay on the road and kill you. Go up on the sidewalk and kill you. What do I do? Don't take it personally.
What does he do?
Think you're part of the car.
What? Just me. Just me.
You should go off.
I'm not in the HOV lane. What? So again, do I say that you're a roadie because of you I'm going to have to go over the edge? No. So why is this different? Because it isn't. That's correct. So that's a very good answer. Right? We don't run around making people road film. You know, as a matter of policy. So it would seem, in my mind, that oddly enough, this case of the woman who is has the choice of whether or not to undergo chemo or to, right, is the same question, oddly enough, as the question of whether you're allowed to abort to save the other child. Because in both cases, the person is not, the baby is not a road aphe. But in both cases, directly from the death of the I shouldn't say it death, the abortion of the baby will save a life.
Hopefully
now, not safe. Only that, but that is correct. Again, so as I was about to say, in the case of the second child, the saving is a lot better.
Hopefully.
Right? Odds are, my odds are a lot better on that one than on the chemo. So again, so I could make the argument that if I would allow the mother to take chemo, then I should also allow the abortion in this case. And let me go one step beyond before we take Graham's question. Is there a possibly saying that the woman is obligated to undergo chemo?
No.
Why not?
Why? She's obligated?
She's not obligated to...
She's ought to commit suicide?
She's growing a baby. She has a choice to save herself or save the baby, I guess.
Again, to save herself or save her child, that's one thing. But if we're saying that the baby is not yet a nefesh,
right.
So what gives me the right to take my life for that? Yes?
So he's clarifying the case of the child that's sick, the first child.
Right, the case that we're working on.
So why deliver the baby full term and then they still take the blood and then she's got two babies.
So again, that's what actually happened, and that's great, but there is a possibility that you don't have forever to get this transplant.
It's a timing situation.
Right. So
again, 5 years,
5-6 years we're talking about. So again, if we're 5.5 years in and we're 4 months pregnant and the doctors say we're down to the last week, right? Obviously, and in fact, that is what happened. So you can sleep well tonight. So one can make a strong argument that if we allow the woman to take the chemo, we would allow the abortion in this case. And I'll go one step beyond and say, if we force the woman to take chemo, perhaps we could force her to abort. Right, so we're at a logical possibility where we have gone from, God forbid, we should start this for because this may happen, to potentially, she must do it. So let's see what the Torah Sayaleta
says.
That changes
the feel of it.
Right. This is Muberesh Shepashtaba Machas Sartan, a pregnant woman who is diagnosed with cancer. Rachmana Litzlan. L'divrei harofim I efshe l'riposa ela she efshe l'harich yameh aydei l'kichas trufa she yahargu esa uber. We can't cure her, but we can extend her life through medicines that will kill the child. Him mutter l'rakachas trufas o shema me'acher et bubo tipo yolet beria aser v'ayim mutter l'muberes l'hamshach b'hirion l'himanu l'tipulim. Is it that she is allowed to, at the expense of the child, to extend her life? Or no, that her might live a little longer is not enough to kill off a healthy child. Shuva. Mutu letapir b'chola sartin lamra she'uva yamas. You are allowed to do that, even though it means that the child will die. V'afo pishalo matzira nesachaya ela ma'arichin letkufa k'tzara chayesha. Even though it's not going to save her life, it's just going to extend her life for a small amount of time. B'cholzos ko'od ein lo uber chaya mishalo v'zoka kula imo sh'teyanak lo chaya mishalo eina chayevas l'schashebo. As long as the child cannot survive without the mother does not have to be concerned about the child. However, if she says she wants to keep the pregnancy, even though this means that she will not be able to take the medicine, and this will bring her end sooner. I think she has the right to do it. So, assuming the parallelism is correct. Again, I have not seen anyone besides me say that. So I'm putting that out there. Then in fact, in the case that happened, the mother would be allowed to abort, but not required to abort in that case. This Shaila actually was only asked once, as far as I know. I don't know how this question ended up there, but Rav Yaakov Ariel, who recently retired as the Rav Rashi of Ramat Gan, got this question, and he wrote a tshuva. It's a fascinating tshuva. It's a long tshuva. Don't worry, you're not going to get the whole thing. But he writes this as follows. The tshuva is exactly ours. Could very well be our case. Yerod chola b'machla katlonis, a child who has a type of disease that could kill. Hapitron hu hishta ashtoras moach etze me ritmas zahus mozala harim zahus. Basically, he needs a bone marrow transplant. Mozal modes es kede ach kede rishtamish birak mosav leripo echo kedesha hayiro diye beemes matim. The parents want to have a brother who, in fact, is going to be a match to save the other one.
Or a sister.
I just translate what's written
here. I got it.
Be'emes matim. Yeah, be'emes matim. Yesh toch be'hafroi malachti sheba yimaynu es ha'uber bal harakmas hazos. They're going to have to use IVF to do this. Ve'oso yashtiru b'rech mashalav reshem hemshach haron him mutar ha'olid yerad r'matar ha'zu kadei she'ti can you make a child just for the sake of saving another child? Fascinatingly, the tshuva does not discuss at all anything that we've spoken about.
Really?
Zero. Tshuva goes on for 10 pages, and at no point does he go down the route that we went down. He starts off the first line, Olam Ra. First line is, you're not obligated to do this. Note, if you want to do it, that's one thing, you're not obligated to do this. I give you the maskana, the bottom line here. Don't have a child for spare parts. Don't even do it for the sake of another child. Ulam. The only time I would allow this is if you're having a child because you want another child. If you want another child, and then you say, no, once I'm having another child anyhow, let's try to get one that'll save the first child, that's one thing. If you don't want another child, don't have another child. You're bringing a child into the world, the child has to be his own person. Because if a child is born with the idea psychologically that my parents never really wanted me, they wanted my cord blood, the kid will have psychological problems for his whole life, and for that, it's better not to be in this world. God forbid, it could lead to a suicide. There's no mitzvah to do this. Don't do this. It has to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. Just like everyone else. Now, there are children that come to this world and there wasn't exactly planning beforehand. He makes it clear. If I have a child and it was an accident, I still get the mitzvah. And even if you accidentally had a child, still, in general, a husband and wife, they're married, they're having the children. They wanted one more, they wanted one less. But, you know, it's the normal, it's still reasonable. They'll raise the kid like any other kid, with all the love. It's not a matter of that. We had no kavana. But we only wanted one kid, and we wanted that kid. And then we were going to get that kid as if we take this kid. The fact that this is the exact opposite is only going to lead to trouble. So therefore, he says...
very different reasoning. I mean, he doesn't use a source,
that's what I said. It's radically differently than everything I said. We hardly touch on the same sources at all. So that's a totally different approach, and that is an approach that other of the ethicists took. They turned around and they said, listen, you know, this is what's going to happen. Which is why it's very interesting. If anyone's interested, I could send you the link, because the children that were involved in this, who are now 21, 15, were interviewed on Denver local TV recently, and they've said it's been the exact opposite for them. Right, they've had this closeness. The fact that he says that my sister has a piece of me, and she says, "I look at him. If it wouldn't be for him, I wouldn't be in this world." Quite the opposite. It gets given more meaning to their life rather than less meaning to the life. So again, it's
were
a very.
Were there more children after these two?
Not that I am aware of. You know, but you know, I haven't looked into it. I cannot tell you one way or the other.
Okay.
But I think there was actually. Take that back.
Okay. So they wanted more children.
I don't know. I didn't ask them how the third one came.
The problem with this psychological relationship is between child and the parents, not the child and the siblings.
Right, right.
So but this closeness between the siblings is very understandable. But did the interviewer ask them how they feel about their parents?
Yeah, I can go through the interview and watch. But it's a fascinating idea. That to take the kid's psychological well-being so seriously that you'll let another kid die over it.
Right.
That's a very... I'm not saying right, I'm not saying wrong, I'm just saying wow.
Right.
That, that's a very, very, you know, strong statement
I
to make.
I think it's a really good argument, but it surprises me.
So again, in the right. So again, meaning I'm telling you this, this comes out of, from my presentation, this is out of left field.
Right.
Right? So again, I think that, no, as I said in the beginning, I'm repeating, no one asked me the question. No one asked me the question. They say when you get asked a shal, you have a special siyata deshmaya, that if you work hard, you're going to get it right. I have no siyata deshmaya. No one asked me the question. This is just my thoughts on the matter. I think that it really, again, to say that you shouldn't do it because it might come to the situation where there'll be a need for an abortion, I think in that case is really too far-fetched. But again, in a theoretical point, even if it came down to that, even if it came down to the fact that, you know, abort a four-month-old fetus to save a child, I think that there is definitely a strong possibility that one would allow it, just like we would allow the mother to take chemo, even though the child is not a rodef in that case. It's a real stretch to call that child a rodef, right? And just like she's a sarashi, that's a matter of the value of the nefesh. And, and again, there is value to a fetus, 100%, but not quite the value of a fully grown, fully born person. Okay?